Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Boston City Councilors are considering whether to increase property taxes. They're reviewing a proposal to add a 1% surcharge onto city property taxes, which would be part of the Community Preservation Act. That means the money would then be used for affordable housing, open space, recreation, or historic preservation. City Councilors held a hearing today about whether to put the proposed surcharge on this fall's ballot. Joining us to talk about both the pros and the cons are Joe Kreisberg. He's president of the Massachusetts Association of Community Development Corporations, which supports the surcharge. Hi, Joe.
Good afternoon.
Also with us is Greg Vassell, chief executive of the Greater Boston Real Estate Board, which opposes the surcharge. Thanks to you as well, Greg.
Thank you. And actually, that's not quite accurate. We have not taken a position on the CPA.
But you have expressed concerns.
We do.
Okay. We'll put it that way. And we want to say, listeners, we'd like to hear from you as well. Do you think Boston should pass the Community Preservation Act? Should this be a question on the fall ballot? Would it help create more affordable housing, or could it make Boston too expensive? You can weigh in by calling us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook and on Twitter at Radio Boston. So, Joe, let's start with you. What do you think the Community Preservation Act would do for Boston?
Well, the Community Preservation Act is an opportunity for us to make Boston a better city for everyone who lives here and ensure that the people who live here can afford to stay here, because it will create more affordable housing, which we know is desperately needed in our city. We see a lot of people, long-term residents, having to move out because they can't afford it. So we need more affordable housing. The mayor has made that clear. The business community has made that clear. And certainly our neighbors have made that clear. But we also need to improve our parks and our open space. And we need to preserve the historic assets that make Boston such a special place to live. A CPA allows us to do all of these things and do it in a way that's very affordable for the residents of the city.
Hmm. Now, there are some who say, though, that higher taxes will push more people out of Boston. So maybe you'll be able to create affordable housing if you have some of the money from this act. But if you have higher taxes on top of it, what's the overall benefit?
Well, the taxes are very modest. For the average homeowner, it's going to be $23.09 per year. Not per month, but per year, less than a cup of coffee per month. So it's very affordable, and most Boston residents will pay nothing. Tenants don't have to pay, and any homeowner who makes less than $78,000 a year is also exempt. Seniors, couples making less than $78,000 a year are exempt. So we've made it so that it's very progressive, it's very fair, and it's very affordable, but the benefits are going to be great.
Greg, I want to bring you in and now to just talk about some of the concerns that you mentioned. And you did say not a position, not a formal opposition here, but concerns about the Community Preservation Act in Boston. Why?
Well, when you take a look at the city of Boston, the property taxes really account for about 67% of the amount of operating money that the city uses every year. It's about $1.9 billion. And when you take a look at how the city operates, that's really skewed in terms of other major metropolitan cities. To have 67% of your revenues tied up in one stream of income isn't safe. It's not healthy. If you're running a business, you'd never do it that way. When you take a look at residential and commercial, the residential rate in the city of Boston is $11 per thousand for valuation. And the commercial rate is much higher. It's at $26.81. So there again, you have a disproportionate factor. Residential values in Boston are really subsidized by the commercial market. And so you have an amazing amount of money tied up in a small segment of sort of our revenue stream or basically, you know, all our eggs are in one basket. So if you increase that, what is that really going to do to your bottom line and for the numbers that you have to do to drive and to make the city successful? It's a little tenuous. And I think when you look at that in terms of other things that developers have to pay, inclusionary zoning, linkage fees, other costs of doing business, labor costs in Boston are higher than they are in suburbs. It all adds up.
Hmm. Joe, do you want to respond to that?
Well, sure. I mean, I think that the notion that this is somehow too onerous on the downtown business community, I just don't buy that. I mean, this has existed This program exists in 160 cities and towns across the state. It's never been repealed. It's existed in Cambridge for 14 years. Cambridge, the real estate is thriving, and they're using this to make sure there's still housing affordable to low and moderate income people. So, you know, we think it's a very affordable way to go. Obviously, we'd love to get more revenue from state and federal resources. We'd love it if the city of Boston had the authority to raise revenue from other sources, but that is what it is. This is a tool that the state has provided. The state will provide approximately $4 million of free matching money if we do this. That's free money that we get. Boston has been paying into a statewide fund, sending money to other cities and towns for 15 years and getting zero in return. We can't afford to subsidize the rest of the state when we have such need here in the city of Boston.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and listeners, again, we want to hear from you as well. Our number here is 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And we have callers who would like to talk about this. Carolina from West Roxbury is on the line. Carolina, you're on the air.
Thank you. I'm paying the maximum amount of rent of what I could afford right now, and I'm worried that if there's an increased tax, that will be passed on to me by our landlord, and then I would be forced out of Boston. And I was wondering what you had to say about that. Thank you.
So you say the high housing prices are already high enough, and a surcharge could raise your rent even more and push you out of the city. Is that right, Carolina?
That's what I'm saying. You're right.
Okay. So what would you say to that, Joe? How would you address something like that? I know you said it's minimal. You said it's $23 a month. But Carolina's concerned that she's going to get a high increase from her landlord as a tenant in Boston, or in some way. Maybe tenants would be exempt, but would a landlord pass that on to her?
Well, first of all, hello. I also live in West Roxbury, so it sounds like we're neighbors. The average is $23 a year for a single-family home.
Mm-hmm.
Apartments are likely to be less, and so is it possible that a landlord will, when the next lease comes up, add $1 or $2 a month to your rent? I suppose that's possible, a dollar or two. Given the way rents have been increasing in the city of Boston, that's probably the least of your concerns in terms of rent increases. We see much larger rent increases happening, not because of taxes, but because of the market. So I think that the risk is modest.
You know, you mentioned 160 other communities that have this act in place, Cambridge being one of them. I'm wondering if you could give me a specific example of a project that's been funded with this money so people could sort of visualize what it might look like. What's an example of housing? I think you said affordable senior housing maybe in Cambridge, but is there another project, an open space project or a recreation project in a local community that this money has been used for?
Well, the Community Preservation Coalition has a website that lists every single project that's ever been done in Massachusetts, every single one. You can search by town and by type. Cambridge has focused its investments on affordable housing, both preserving some of the existing housing that they've had for a long time and creating new homeownership and rental housing. There's more than a dozen projects across the city of Cambridge. But it's also been used in other towns for town hall restoration, for monument restoration, and certainly a number of ball fields. In fact, we were just talking out in the hall beforehand about our kids playing on fields that have been renovated with CPA funds.
I'm wondering, Greg, if you want to comment a little bit about the communities talking about the benefits that they've gotten from the Community Preservation Act and about Boston paying in, as Joe mentioned, quite a bit of money into the state fund that helps provide the matching money for the Community Preservation Act, and then maybe not getting some of the benefits. Is Boston missing out here? About that argument?
I'd like to respond to Carolina because we represent 12,000 real estate professionals across, you know, greater Boston area, and she will definitely get an increase. These costs will be passed through to the tenants, absolutely. And Joe's comment about $23, if you take a look at the math, the first $100,000 of value is exempted. So if the tax rate's $11 per thousand, mm-hmm. when you do the math, you're looking at something that's going to be selling in the 300 plus range. The Boston I know today is a lot more expensive than that. So I think that number is actually a little bit low. That state match that you just mentioned is shrinking. It has been shrinking for the last several years. It was bumped up in 2014 by some money from the legislature, but it's gone back down again. Boston jumps in, that money's going to shrink even further. So, I mean, I think it's not – it's not really going to happen the way that it has in the past. When communities first got into the CPA, they got a lot of money back from the state. But we've seen that money decline and shrink.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to take some callers because the phone lines are lighting up here. John is calling from Marshfield, even though you're not from Boston. John, you're on the air.
Hi there. Actually, my mother owns property in Rochester.
Okay.
My one concern about asking for what essentially is a tax hike, it's an end run around Prop 2.5. But when it came out yesterday in the Globe that the city is essentially going to be paying GE's rent for two buildings on Necco Place, that they're giving away a lot of tax money to a multinational corporation, and then in turn they're asking the people of Boston to pay extra taxes, which allegedly will go through parks or affordable housing or whatnot. It just seems the people of the city are getting raked over while corporations get away with free rent.
Okay. John, thanks very much for calling. I think I want both of you to respond to this. Greg, let's start with you. What do you say to folks who say Boston, the timing here is not good as we look at giving tax breaks to General Electric and then talk about possibly putting a surcharge on property taxes?
I think if you take a look at the real estate cycle, many professionals right now would say we're probably near or at the top. So if we start to go into a declining cycle and they go up and they go down, I think we really have to think about, is this the right time? Especially when this comes on the heels of a whole bunch of other increases that people have absorbed.
Okay. And Joe?
This is absolutely the right time. If we don't do this now, we will lose out on millions of dollars and we will see further rent increases and further displacement. Now is absolutely when to do it. And the reason the $23 figure is accurate, and it comes from the city, not from me, is because Greg's forgetting about the owner-occupied exemption. So you get another $155,000 off your assessed value that's exempt. So that's why the number comes out the way it does. And what's great about CPA is you know exactly where your money's going. It's going into a separated fund. Only 5% can be used for administration. 95% of the dollars go into bricks and mortar projects in these three uses. Everything's transparent. The city council votes on every expenditure in a public meeting, and every dollar spent will be documented on the internet. So this is a great transparent program. It's going to be run by local people, and it's going to do great things for the city of Boston.
Okay, I want to take some calls. Jay is calling from Quincy. Yes, not Boston, but Quincy has implemented this act. So, Jay, you're on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call. I have nothing but great things to say about the CPA program. It has afforded Quincy to do certain things that we would have never gotten to do because of the shortage in the regular city budget. It has allowed us to take care of many of our 27 baseball fields and maintain historical sites. We've renovated our city hall, one of the oldest continuously running city halls in the country, with some CPA funding. And it allows the towns and the cities to do just something extra that they'd normally never get to do. And I have lived in the city for 60 years and have never had anybody complain to me about it, about the added tax. Because when you go to a ball field or you go to a memorial place and it is all done the way it's supposed to be done, you can't beat that. That improves the value of the city, and that's why Quincy is such a hot place to land, because we are doing so much through CPA and the hotel motel tax.
Okay. Jay, thanks very much for calling. Greg, I want to ask you, is Boston different from Quincy? Would it not play out the same way?
Boston's absolutely different from Quincy. When you take a look around the state, cities like Worcester and like Springfield don't have the CPA. Cambridge is really a red herring because you've got Kendall Square, which is hot, and then you have the rest of Cambridge, which is very different, a lot of which is owned by Harvard, which doesn't pay tax. So I think you really have to look. Boston has assets to trade in the billions of dollars. Other places don't. I think the CPA is great for cities and towns. Boston is not Mayberry RFD.
Okay. Frank is calling from Roxbury. Frank, you're on the air.
Yes, hello. I think the initiative is directed in the wrong place. I mean, you have neighborhoods that can be developed and are not being developed, even though these developers are squeezing every inch out of other parts in the community. I mean, I live in Roxbury, and there's at least three properties that have been sitting abandoned in my neighborhood for decades. and the city allows the property owners to sit on them empty. But then there's no developers come and say, hey, there's a piece of property we could develop. There's also an instance where you have suburbs that are tight with their zoning regulations, don't want to let developers come in and put in multi-unit housing because they're afraid that it'll attract more families. Mm-hmm. They'll develop something for the elderly because they'll know they get the tax money, but they won't get the services that they might have to provide with a family. I mean, I think what needs to happen is this state is in the driver's seat when it comes to property. And they're not putting the initiative out. They're acting as if the developers need to come to them. No, they're acting as if they need to come to the developers when the developers need to come to them, and they can force the developers to spread out this development.
Okay.
And that's not what's happening.
All right.
They're letting it tight. And then only certain neighborhoods are attracting all this business.
All right. Frank, I want to thank you very much for your call. We also have Natalie, who is waiting to weigh in on this from Jamaica Plain. Natalie, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. Thank you for taking my call. I have several points. First, minor one. The gentleman mentioned that the cost would only be somewhere around $20 a year. That means the property is assessed at $200,000. There needs to be a reality check. That's not the case. Number two, he mentioned free money, free from state, free from federal government. That's a big problem in philosophy and attitude. It is not free money. The third point I want to make, Massachusetts broke all records for affordable housing. You are creating ghettos. You are now driving out the middle class. They will be gone because you're going to have affordable housing and you're going to have ultra-luxurious high-rise. So the tax is wrong. Affordable housing is very bad and a big negative.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Natalie, I'd like you to respond to some of Natalie's concerns. First of all, I do think that you did briefly talk about the $23 a month figure, but if you want to explain that again and where that came from.
Yeah, there's certainly understandable confusion about how that calculation is made. But you take your assessed value, you subtract $100,000 for the CPA exemption, you subtract about $155,000 for the owner-occupant exemption, then you take what's left and you apply the tax rate. And that's why you get to about $23.09 per year per average. You know, and obviously, if the home is worth more, it'll pay a little more. If the home is worth less, it'll pay a little less. Second point, in terms of the state money, my point is that money is there and it's available, but only if we pass CPA. And if we've already paid for it. So the only question is whether we're going to get to benefit from it. And in terms of the income issue, one of the great things about CPA is it's a much more flexible source than state and federal money. And it can be used to support middle-income housing for people making $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year. It can be used for homeownership opportunities. And it can ensure that what the caller was afraid of doesn't happen is that we continue to have mixed-income neighborhoods with housing across the spectrum of incomes, exactly what Mayor Walsh has called for in his housing plan, exactly what business leaders have been calling for. It's why we have so many business leaders joining up with the campaign, because they know we need that middle-income housing.
Okay, we are just about out of time, and we have the phone lines still completely lit up. So good luck with this to everyone involved. But, Greg, I would like to just give you the last word here.
Well, I think we need some more study. You know, we always pride ourselves in Boston of being the modern day Athens of the world. I think we need somebody from Harvard or MIT or one of our higher educational institutions to take a good hard look at this, to help educate everybody from the business community to regular people in the street to, you know, the homeowner in Dorchester. I think there needs to be more work on that.
All right. Greg Vassell, Chief Executive of the Greater Boston Real Estate Board. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Also want to say thanks to Joe Kreisberg, President of the Massachusetts Association of Community Development Corporations. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And listeners, stay with us. Coming up, how uncertainty is essential to how we experience medicine. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.